Un saludo muy especial al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los que lo acompañan allá donde él se encuentra y también.
Warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all those who are accompanying him where he is, and also to all those who are watching us through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in all countries. Today, Friday, March 15 of this year 2024, and our subject is the angelic visitation to the human family. Preach on March 30th, 2014, here in Cayey, Puerto Rico. Here, our brother William used as a base scripture for this message from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 26-36, where it tells us there about the visit of the Archangel Gabriel to Mary. And let us search in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verse 11 and on, where he tells us, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. She was a widow, and he was her only son. For sure he was the one who bore the burden of the household. He helped his mother with work and everything to support his home. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. There he writes, visit. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And he writes their prophet. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. The angelic visitation to the human family. You may please be seated. Notice, here, it tells us that they glorify God there, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us. Whenever God is going to carry out a work in each age and in each dispensation, in a territory, in a place, he raises up that messenger, that prophet, in the place where that work is going to be carried out, from among the people, of the common of the people. And from there, that message spreads out. If it is an age, then it reaches a certain point. If it is of a dispensation, then it covers more. In other words, it covers the entire planet Earth. Because in the changes of dispensation, there are always changes that impact all mankind when they are changes of dispensations. Notice at the time of Abraham, the time of Noah, the time of Moses, there were changes of dispensation through those messengers that God sent, dispensational messengers, whom impacted mankind. Now, humanity was not totally impacted, but they were partially impacted. And where there was an impact, where the human race, God, through the fulfillment of that first coming as the Lamb of God, in His work of redemption, carried out on Calvary's cross, notice, He impacted mankind, and also impacted that spiritual sphere, which was the first part of that great work that God would be carrying out with His coming. Because the coming of the Lord is shown that it would be His first coming as the Lamb and His second coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in both of His comings, He was going to impact all the spheres. The first, He impacted the human race in the physical. That is why you see before Christ and after Christ. And He impacted the spiritual part completely. Now, the coming of the Lord in His second coming impacts both the spiritual sphere as well as the physical sphere. And the physical sphere will be impacted not only partially, but completely when He gives us that eternal and glorified body. Now, the angelic visitation, where in this message our brother William is showing us that there is a final visit, a final manifestation, which would be the heavenly visitation to the human family. That final visit, He tells us that it would be to bring us that rapturing faith. How does God do in each age and in each dispensation to fulfill His word and bring the children of God the promises pertaining to that age? Through His instruments. In the message, The Power of Transformation, preached on August 19, 2011, in San Luis Potosí, Mexico, and our brother William tells us, therefore, the word that is spoken to be fulfilled at a certain time, what was spoken will be materialized around that word. And if it was spoken to certain people that God is going to give them such a blessing, then they will first hear that word, they will believe it, and they will conquer that promise by faith, believing it, and that is how the word becomes flesh in the person. And then, since it became flesh, around that word that became flesh, the fulfillment of that promise will be materialized. Therefore, it will be a work of faith in the person, in the people of God. And not only what happens with the person, but what happens in the church as a mystical body of believers. All of the work of God will be around the word that was spoken for His church, for that stage, for that age, for that time. And the things that God said that He would do or will be seen in the church is none other than the materialization of that God said that would happen. All of those things are the divine thought spoken, expressed by the Holy Spirit through the instrument that He sends to His people. And how is our transformation going to come? Simple. The Reverend William Branham says, let's see here, because we are talking about the transformation, right? And I think that that is the subject that we are interested the most, because with the way things are getting on this planet Earth, I think many think the way I do. The sooner I leave here, the sooner I'm transformed and leave, the better. I think many think like I do. Let us see in a scripture in the Book of the Seals, page 148, says on that page, Seven Thunders of Revelation, may He show the bride how to prepare for the great translation faith, rapturing faith. So, if the thunders are the ones that are going to make known, to bring that revelation, to let her know how to prepare herself, then you have to hear what the thunders, three dots. The people are going to be listening to the thunders. Perhaps they may not know that what they're listening to is the thunders, but they will be the thunders. Notice, many may think, or many may not know, that what they are hearing are the thunders. But notice, perhaps at the beginning, it looks like something that doesn't seem to be what was promised, because it is something that was not written, nor had been said how it was, nor how God was going to carry out that promise of, in a great tent cathedral, making known the thunders, giving the rapturing faith to the elect of God, preparing them, and for them to obtain that knowledge of the mystery of the seventh seal. But when God works progressively, they begin to realize that that was what on their inside they were longing for, desiring to hear. There was something inside that needed to hear that in order to obtain what they were longing for so much, which was to be to the image and likeness of the Lord. And since they already had the image, having received the Lord in His first coming as the Lamb of God, something was missing. And God is not an inconclusive God. He's a God who fulfills every promise and carries it out according to His program, not man's program. He is the one that has the blueprint, and He gives that blueprint to His instrument. No one else has it. And as that man speaks, everything that is contained in that blueprint, well, the elect of God go on receiving the knowledge. That's how it is in constructions. The contractor receives the blueprint. And the builder, the carpenter, all those who work as employees of that contractor, until he starts to say, here is such and such a width, and this is the length, and make the foundation this deep, the footing. You're going to place these many rods this way, that way. You will pour this much concrete on the foundation. Then you will compact that foundation. You're going to mold it. Put the rods for the floor. Pour such and such a concrete with such a specification. Notice, one man has all those guidelines. If everyone starts talking in a construction, because the engineer gave a blueprint to everyone, then everyone will start interpreting the blueprint. And if someone doesn't know about it, maybe he will put the rod that goes in the ceiling, he will put it on the foundation or on the floor. And when he's going to pour the concrete roof, he used the foundation rods. And before he knows it, that construction will not work, because he does not know how to read the blueprint, or he would interpret the blueprint differently. And that is how it is with the revelation that God brings to the people in each age and in each dispensation. It comes through one man. And that is how it's been in each age and in each dispensation. And that is how it is in our age, the age of the cornerstone, and in our dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. And later on, we will see there where our brother William said on several occasions, and our brother Branham, that in each age, no one could add nor take away. In each age, no one could add nor take away. Why? Because all of that was typifying, reflecting. For example, in the message of Moses, in the messages brought by those prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all of them, which spoke of the coming of the Messiah and everything he would carry out, if the group of those messengers started to add or take away from it, they would then make that fulfillment of what they were speaking ineffective. And then, when God would fulfill what those prophets spoke, since they add or taken away from that message, when God then fulfills it, those who add it or take away from it cannot see it, cannot receive it, because they added or took away from it, and they gave their own interpretation. And when God fulfills it, they say, it's not him. He is a false prophet. It cannot be him, because they have added and taken away from the message that that messenger brought. That is why you cannot add on or take away from the message of Brother Branham, nor could you add on or take away from the message of Brother William. Because as they said that the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man would be the fulfillment of the angel who was different from the rest, the fulfillment of the seventh seal being manifested on earth in the midst of the human race, in that angelic visitation of God in the midst of the people, bringing the rapturing faith to the elect, then they would make that word ineffective, the word that was spoken, if they add to it or take away from it. Because then when God would be fulfilling that, then they wouldn't believe it. That is why the message is recorded, and it is written, and it is recorded on tapes and in booklets, so that no one can add to it. Because that is what is happening at this end time, that they have started adding their own interpretations to what they spoke. And when God is fulfilling to they what they spoke, then they cannot believe it. They cannot receive it. And in our time, everything that is being spoken and everything that is being thought from the Great Tent Cathedral cannot be added to it or taken away from it. As it is spoken, that's how it is. And what is not understood now will be understood later on. So therefore, do not get ahead in anything. Wait for God to continue showing and giving the way at this end time for everything pertaining to this dispensation. Because you, as he said to him there in that message, a guide, speaking about Joshua, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, tells him there through Joshua, don't go ahead, because you don't know the way. You have not passed this way before. You have to go behind, and at a certain distance. It's not for you to go there almost pushing, like when you're on a line. Sometimes they get so close that they even stumble with each other. So when you're in line, you always leave a space, about one or two steps, so you don't stumble with the person that is in front of you. So is with the ark, the word. You must go at a certain distance, which he gave there. Now, notice how God is showing us here, through our brother William, what he continues to say. He says, well, they may not know that what they are listening to are the thunders, but they will be the thunders. What are the thunders? The voice of the mighty angel that comes down from heaven. The word that he speaks for his church. There lies the mystery. The thunders reveal the mystery of the seventh seal the mystery of the coming of the Lord. And just as for the spiritual transformation in each person, the mystery that was revealed, which was it? The mystery of the coming of Christ and His work of redemption on Calvary's cross, and believing in Christ, in His name, and in His work of redemption, by receiving Him as Savior, being baptized in water in His name, and receiving His Spirit. That is how that inner transformation takes place. The second coming of Christ will be for the physical transformation, the coming of the Lord at the last day. The revelation brought for the last day, which is the voice of Christ, of the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, giving us His word, revealing these things to us, we will be receiving the revelation, the faith to be transformed around that word, which will have become flesh in the believers in Christ. The transformation will come for those people, and the resurrection for those who have already departed. Now notice that for the first coming of the Lord, it was required to believe in Christ. That is, to believe in the Anointed One, the Messiah. Christ, Messiah, anointed is the same thing. Christ is an anointed person. Messiah is an anointed person with what? With the Holy Spirit. Now, notice, it was required to believe in the Anointed One, in the Messiah, in the Christ, in the one in whom that promise was being fulfilled. And what else? There we have one. Two. In His name. Now, notice that in the Book of the Seals, on page 151, it tells us, and Jesus, His name on earth was Redeemer Jesus. When He was on earth, He was the Redeemer, that's true. But when He conquered death and hell, and overcome them, and ascended on high, He received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. You'll be revealed in the thunders. See? Notice the mysteries. He is coming, writing. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. What has to come? Well, what has to come is the rapturing faith. The voice of the seven thunders must come. Now notice, no man knowed but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his tie a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There comes the Messiah. There He is. Revelation 19:13-16. There comes the Messiah. There He is. Now notice that that white horse rider of Revelation 19, which is the coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal being manifested on earth, thus fulfilling His claim in work. Now remember that the Scriptures have multiple fulfillments, because there is also a promise that after the Great Tribulation, there is a return to earth. Notice, the Lord with all the saints to reign in the millennium. That is another angle of that scripture. Now notice that something here on page 69 of the Book of the Seals, it says, he's talking about Revelation 5. And after that scripture, he says, this seventh seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, if you're marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, so you get an understanding before we get into it. Now, This is at the end time. Poor listen. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. If you notice, that's Christ, see? Because he in the Old Testament was called the angel of the covenant. And he is directly coming to the Jews now. For the church is finished, see? All right. And his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You remember that angel in Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger. And he is the messenger to Israel, see? The church has been raptured, see now, or fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. Now notice that in the coming of the Lord, in his second coming, he comes with a new name. In that name, as the name in his first coming, which was related to the work that he would be carrying out, which was the work of redemption as Savior, as Redeemer. In his second coming, the name is related to the claiming work of what he is doing and carrying out in this final harvest, which is that gathering of the elect that are being placed in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. Now, notice that this messenger is a messenger to Israel. But since the church is about to be raptured, well, he comes for his church, to give her the rapturing faith. Now, we saw there the second one, which is his name. The first was to believe in Christ in his first coming. The second was in his name. And the third, his work of redemption. In the third, in the work that he is carrying out, it is his claiming work. Remember, everything is parallel. Now, our brother William continues to say here, therefore, there will be a message that will have to be received by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day in the stage pertaining to our time. Not for the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh age, because those messages were already brought by the Holy Spirit through the messengers that he sent. Therefore, the mighty angel, the Holy Spirit, who was in those messengers, at this end time, he will be bringing us his revelation, his final message, which will become flesh in us, and all that God has promised for his church in this end time will be materialized. See, and there we will have that promise of the Lord in his coming, giving that new eternal and glorified body he promised for us. And there is where God is fulfilling that final visitation, that final manifestation. No one will be transformed unless they have that revealed word, that word of the seven thunders incarnate in them. Therefore, the voice of Christ, the mighty angel, the Holy Spirit, who comes down from heaven with the little book open in his hand, and he gives it to a man to prophesy. If he is going to prophesy, then what must that man be? A prophet. And if he has to prophesy, then what must that man be? Well, he has to be a prophet. Because prophets are the ones who prophesy. And he is going to eat that word, that message, that creative word. He's going to speak it, and it will be received by all the believers who are going to be transformed. It will become flesh in them as well, just as it will become flesh in the messenger, because he eats it, he receives it, he believes it, and it becomes flesh in him. And therefore, that word becomes a reality. And the commandment is then, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. And therefore, there will be someone prophesying. There will be someone who will have eaten that word, who will be a prophet, and who will not belong to any of the seven ages. Therefore, there must be a stage in the church where he will be. And there is no other stage but the golden stage, the golden age, the age of the cornerstone. There, the one who has eaten that word will appear, that book sealed with seven seals. And he will be speaking the prophetic word, and up there, there will be people who will be listening, because they will have heard the call to come up higher. Because that is how it has been in the first age. The believers went up to the first age with the message of the Holy Spirit through the messenger of each age, of Paul. Then to the second age came the messenger, the call through the Holy Spirit through that messenger, who had eaten the word for that time. And the believers pertaining to that second age went up to that second age. Now notice in the book of the ages, the edited book, on page 89, he tells us that cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall this last move of God in the Spirit, when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, took to the street corners and weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshiped in homes and old store buildings. They had reality, but it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches. They put a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves. They put gowns on the chore. They organized a movement and ran it by men. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. They let down the bars and goats came in and took over. In another message, he says, they let down the bars and the goats got in. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the Spirit was gone. Oh, they kept on with a form. But the fire had died down, and the blackness of ashes is about all that is left. On page 95, on this same book of the ages, the Reverend William Branham tells us, and the church corporate has never learned this lesson from the scripture nor from history. Every time God gives a visitation of the Holy Spirit and people get free, there he writes, he brings a revival through an angel messenger. And people get free, after a while they bind themselves right back to the very thing they came out of. When Luther came out of Catholicism, the people stayed free for a while, but when he died, the people simply organized what they thought he believed and set up their own creeds and ideas, and repudiated anyone who said opposite to what they said. Notice, the same thing that happened when Brother Branham left, and the same thing that happened with Brother William left. They are left interpreting what he said, and God already fulfilling what those prophets had spoken, that it would be in a great tent cathedral that God would be working under a ministry, where he would be bringing the rapturing faith. God is already well into his program, and they are still thinking and interpreting what the messenger meant to say. And some may say, no, but I haven't said anything. I have stayed with what he said. Well, by staying with what he said, you're also against what God spoke through them. Because if you were believing what God spoke through them, you would be believing the fulfillment of what they brought, that the rapturing faith would be given in a great tent cathedral. And that is what God has been doing. And God is fulfilling everything right under their noses. And those who are not called to be transformed, don't see it. Now, those who are going to be transformed and raptured, they are indeed holding on to that promise, and they are already receiving for a couple of years that teaching. Now notice how God fulfills His words, His promises, before mankind. And since He is veiled, before those who that promise is not for them to receive it, God may be doing it right under their noses, and yet they will not receive it. They will not receive it. But the elect of God will receive it, because the promise is for them. The rest will be wasting their time justifying their unbelief and doing everything that the unbeliever and the make-believer always do, mocking and speaking blasphemy and all those things against the instrument and the people who are following the pillar of fire in a new age and a new dispensation. As simple as that. He continues saying, they went right back to Catholicism with a little different form. And right today, many Lutherans are ready to go all the way back. Here in a writing, he puts on that page and he writes, people set free in each visitation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice that with the visit of that Holy Spirit that Brother Branham says there on page 318 of the Book of the Seals and also on page 154, with that visit of the Holy Spirit at this end time, with that visit, He will set us free from this earthly, corruptible, and temporary body by giving us that eternal and glorified body which He promised to give us in this end time. In other words, with the visit of each messenger of the heavenly presence of God, of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ in each age, that visit was temporary. What He would produce in those elect. In other words, He would call them. He would place them in that age, but then they would die. In other words, it was only a spiritual deliverance. Now, for this end time, it's the spiritual deliverance and the physical deliverance as well, because those are the two portions that God would be fulfilling at this end time. Now, our brother William continues saying here, and that is how the people pertaining to each stage of the church went up like on a ladder, where God also places the messenger of each stage. In the Book of Quotations, on page 133, it tells us, paragraph 1183, Enoch, before the antediluvian destruction, when justification was coming in, he brought forth a sign. And in this pyramid is seven steps going to the king's chamber. Watch on the seventh step. If you ever studied the dimensions of the pyramid, what comes out to take the oncomer to introduce to the king, watch whose station that is standing there, and you'll see the day you're living in the pyramid. And we are in the seventh church age before the king takes his throne. And there he writes, above he writes, the throne equals king's chamber equals the age of the cornerstone. The ladder, 7 steps. Now notice, he also writes there, Enoch equals Luther. Because he says, Enoch, before the antediluvian destruction, when justification was coming in, and justification pertains to Luther. And further down there on the bottom left corner, he writes, throne. He draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, 8 in the cornerstone, and further down, 7. And also on page 90, paragraph 778, and he says, so if that was so secret when he come, how much more will the rapture be unknown? See? They won't know it. Directly they'll say, well, I thought we were supposed to have a rapture and all this judgment upon the earth. He'll say, it's already taken place and you didn't know it. See? It'll be so, just like a thief at the night. Like a book I read one time. Was it that called Romeo and Juliet? Is that what it was or something? He got the, and there he writes Moses and Elijah. Got the ladder up aside the house, being a long time ago. And come, God, get her out at night time. Now notice, if one also places a pyramid and draws the ages and see a space there, there, if you can put that in, let us say, in a drawing of what he's talking about here, will you place the ladder? You place it there on top of the seventh age, and you put the ladder and place it above on the part of the door of the cornerstone there. And how is the ladder set there? Toward the cornerstone. Because in the ages is a step. But notice that that ladder, once it reaches the seventh stage, then it's a very far step. So you have to place a ladder there. And who places it there? Moses and Elijah. To go up to where? To the age of the cornerstone. To get her out at night time. Now, that's the way that it'll take place. And it'll be gone. Not they'll send a bunch of angels down with some spades and dig up the graves. The Bible says, will be changed before even you can bat your eye. Just a twinkle. It'll all be over that quick. And on the left, at the bottom, he draws a little ladder. That is a ladder. Like a ladder. Our brother William continues saying here, and that is how the people pertaining to each stage of the church went up like on a ladder, where God also places the messenger of each stage. And now, the 7 messengers left. Some may say, well, now we have no messenger. For the 7 ages, no, not anymore. But for the age of the cornerstone, the pertaining messenger must appear. Look, if he's saying that each messenger of the 7 stages have already left, and their time already finished, and that a messenger would come for that new stage, that new age, and that new dispensation, well, he's pointing out to someone who would come, who he typified in his message, and he was also reflecting in himself what that messenger would be. And he couldn't speak openly either, because he himself told Brother Branham, of this you will say nothing to no one. He also was not going to say how it would be, who it would be, or anything like that, because that mystery would be open in a great tent cathedral, and he would be opened by the same one in whom that promise would be fulfilled. He would present himself, says Brother Branham. Now, he goes on to say, And the Holy Spirit must speak to His church in a higher age. What will be spoken will be materialized in that age, what pertains to that age. For example, in the past, it was spoken that a great tent cathedral will come to the midst of the believers in Christ, and it wasn't fulfilled in the seventh age, and the Reverend William Branham wanted to make it a reality. He spoke it, therefore, that is spoken word. But remember that the prophets have spoken word for their time, which will be fulfilled in their time, and word that will be fulfilled in other stages of the divine program. That which was for their time was fulfilled in the time they were alive, and that which was for later on has been fulfilled as the cycles or ages of the divine program have come. The work of God has always been to fulfill what He promised, to fulfill what He thought and spoke through the Holy Spirit, that is, through Christ in His heavenly body, through the prophets who were the veils of flesh that He used. He spoke to us in that message, in this message, His unfailing words of promise, where He tells us there, on page 17, paragraph 137-138, he says, God still remains true to His word. Both heaven and earth will pass away, but My words shall not pass away. God who can create squirrels, who can take away tumors, He is still the same God tonight, for it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Heavenly Father, who is My witness, with this Bible over my heart, knows that word by word of that is as true as I know how to say it. What good would it do me to say something wrong, friends? What am I saying this for? That it might encourage you to believe. And there He draw a star of David. Now, that great gift, others have tried to explain and say how it was done. That is, the first and second pool. This can't be explained. That is the third pool. Just wait. It will not be in operation so perfectly now. Wait till that council of churches brings on that persecution. That's when it will happen. And there He draws the star of David. That's the reason I come back among you, to pray for the sick. I have never had but one thing that He ever told me in my life that I know that hasn't happened yet, that some sort of a building or a tent where there will be a little building setting, and I have to go into that and pray for the sick. That hasn't happened yet as far as I know. That's the only thing that I know. And there He writes, the squeeze, the third pool, the tenth vision. And if this is taken by the group of Brother Branham, believers in His message, and they say, no, Brother Branham said He would be there and He would pray for the sick in a wooden room. But notice that the follower believers, all of us, of the message of that powerful archangel who brought us after the forerunner, who spoke to us and told us that in a great tent cathedral, God would be working and visiting His people, and that would be the manifestation of the seventh seal, that would be the ministry of His second coming, that would be the ministries of Moses and Elijah, operated by the Holy Spirit, by the instrument that God would be using there. And when they read this, well, the believers in those good tidings say, no, that cannot be Brother Branham, because Brother Branham already left. He was speaking about someone else. And when God takes away that important character who brought the good tidings, then that group that comes out and is placed by those reaping angels, those two olive trees, those angels that God promised that He would send at the end time to bring the separation, the segregation, those that are placed in the age of the cornerstone, they can say, no, it can't be that instrument, because God already took him. He cannot be our brother William Soto Santiago, who fulfills that promise, because his days are over. Now, the group that stays down below, well, at what point they spoke and said that Brother Branham was not that person, and that those who were saying that were incorrect. Well, now they are putting themselves in the same position as those of Brother Branham's group. No, he has to return, because he said that he was going to return and he was going to be there, and that he was invited to preach on the vials, the plates, and the trumpets in the tent, and that he had already been invited, so he is coming back. So the cycles are repeated themselves again. But the group that is higher up is going to say, no, you are wrong, because God always works with a veil of flesh that is alive, present in the midst of the people. Because without prophecy, the people perish, without a seer, without a prophet. Therefore, the elect of God would be seeing that promise, which is given by revelation to the elect of God, and they see it being fulfilled. They see that manifestation. They see that final visit of God in the midst of His church, and they receive and are receiving the blessings contained in that angelic visitation. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, for our time, we want to know everything related to the transformation and resurrection of the dead believers in Christ, and therefore, the catching away or rapture of the church. Because all those who are going to be raptured and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb will have the promised word for our time, and will be materialized in them. And around that word, our transformation will be materialized. Because the word is a seed. The word is a seed. The original seed. What it says becomes a reality. Just like what is in a seed of a tree, or whatever it may be, becomes a reality when it is sown. It sprouts and bears fruits. And there is a message that perhaps tomorrow, Saturday, we can talk about it, where he shows us that in the dispensation of grace is where one sows. And the whole message that has been sown, in other words, that rain that has fallen, remember, it has fallen upon wheat and tares. But by their fruits you shall know them. And there is then where that harvest work comes. To harvest where? In the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. That which was sown in the dispensation of grace. While baptisms and making altar calls to receive the Lord as their only sufficient Savior was being carried out, that latter and former rain was being sown. Now is time to harvest. That is why that message fell upon every kind of ground. And it produces, each ground produces a fruit. Now, we can talk about that tomorrow. Let's see how God leads us. Because notice here, he goes on to say, that is how the word of God is, which accomplishes that which God sent it for. It is sown in the people's heart. Now the person cannot say, I'm staying with this message, I already received it, and I don't want anything else. In other words, he will not bear the fruit which pertains to that word that was brought into the heart of that person. And since he leaves it there, and he bears no fruit, when the angels come, bringing that separation, that segregation and harvesting, when they look in there, there's no fruit there. What happened to the fig tree? It was cursed for not bearing fruit. And thus will be cursed those who do not bear fruit from that word, from that message that was brought and was sown in the heart of each person. No one cannot, nor it is any good for them to say that they received that message, they stay pure with it there, if they do not bear the fruit pertaining to that message, that word that was brought in. Then if they do not bear any fruit, then people are cursed, just as the fig tree was cursed back then. Now, he continues saying, and therefore, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mystical body of believers, therefore, the Church will have the word pertaining to our time, and each believer in Christ as an individual will also have it. Around that word, our transformation is going to take place. That is why the rapturing faith of which the Reverend William Branham speaks about, transformation and rapture, see, it is in the thunders. The thunders give it, and the thunders is the voice of Christ, the mighty angel that comes down from heaven in Revelation chapter 10, speaking to his people. And that is why he gives the title deed to a man, so that he eats it, and then prophesies, speaks, bring that prophetic word, and consequently, the Holy Spirit will be in him speaking through that instrument. Further on, he says, now, we can see that for this end time, there is a great blessing promised, the transformation. Christ will come for it. But how will he come? When will he come? And these mysteries that will only be revealed to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to everyone who will be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. No one else has to know it, because no one else will be transformed. Notice, no one else has to know this mystery of the seventh seal, but only those who will be transformed. That is why those who are not going to be transformed instead turn their back on it, make their own activities, travel to other countries, and they are not looking at what God said He would do to connect with the Great Tent Cathedral, because there He would be giving the rapturing faith to the elect. But since the transformation and rapture is not for them, they can do whatever they want, invent all kinds of activities and all kinds of things, bringing in creeds and human interpretations and all of that. In God's people, the chosen ones of God, are being prepared for their transformation. They keep moving forward, listening and obeying what God said, that it would be made known in a great tent cathedral. Notice how simple everything is. And it is so simple that God can be speaking rapturing faith, and they can be listening to it. But since it's not for them, what they rather do is to spit out, that is, speaking badly. They spit out those vitamins that God is giving the elect, and instead, what they speak is things that blaspheme, or that speak badly against what God promised. What they say that they believe in, instead what they do is fight against and speak ill. But that is also what they are ordained to do. Each group is ordained to carry out a work. And that work is carried out, and they fulfill it to the T. And they will receive the reward for the work they're carrying out. And they do receive their reward, the reward of those that are listening to the voice of God, the divine direction, and have received the final visitation of God in this final manifestation, they will receive the transformation, the eternal and glorified body. Those who have turned their back on it, they will receive what they are working for, fighting for, which is the Great Tribulation. You have to fight to go to the Great Tribulation. You have to make an effort, because you have to make an effort for everything. You have to earn it. Well, those who are going to be transformed, they are going to earn the transformation because they are receiving that word. Those who are going to go to the Great Tribulation are fighting, they are working, and they will receive what they are working for. They will reap what they are sowing. Now, he goes on to say, now, at a certain moment, that manifestation of the power of God will have an impact on the foolish virgins and also on the whole world. And that will identify the Church Bride of the Lord, because that power will be manifested in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why a great vision was shown to the Reverend William Branham back in 1956. on January 1st, 1956. Notice, since 56, God already showed him in a vision that a great tenth cathedral is going to appear in the midst of the believers in Christ. That is why he was always talking about that great tenth cathedral, and he tried to make it a reality in his time. And he was told that the fulfillment of the third pool will be there. And the third pool is the stage of the creative word being spoken. And when the creative word is spoken, what has been spoken will be materialized around that word, through that word. And therefore, wherever that word is, it will be fulfilled, it will be materialized. And where will it be? In the believers in Christ, whom will be transformed. Therefore, that is the revelation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who are going to be transformed. And that will be given by the Holy Spirit, Christ, the mighty angel, in the midst of his church at the last day. And now, all that is a mystery, but it will be received. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the revelation the way that God has always given his revelation, his word to his people, through the Holy Spirit, through the instrument that God has for that age. Notice, how are they going to receive, as Brother William says there, that revelation, that rapturing faith? Well, in the same way that God has always given his revelation to his people. How? He says, through the Holy Spirit, through the instrument that God has for that age. Therefore, now notice, if he had spoken and said that he would have such a name, and that the one who is in the midst of the people was the fulfillment of that promise, well, look, then everyone would believe. And then the tares would really enter into the millennial kingdom as well. But since they were mixed there among the people, he left that as a secret, which would only be seen, understood by those who would reign with Christ 1,000 years, with his anointed one, with the Son of David. Because it is by faith and by revelation, and only those who have that prophetic insight, those who have come directly from God and have taken corruptible and temporary bodies, they have made contact with eternal life, and in this end time, they have been receiving that great angelic or heavenly visitation. Now notice how God fulfills everything in a simple way at this time. It will be so humble, Brother Branham says in the seals, because it is such a great promise, and what we are going to receive is something so and so great that it could not be for anyone other than an elect. Now notice that even the very elect can already start to see who is going to be transformed and who is not, because people themselves, through their actions, are already showing their fruits, and you can start to see who is going to be transformed and who is not. Look at the great revelation that God is giving his elect. They are even presenting themselves openly. But before they were all there, they all seemed to be the same. But notice how God fulfills that word, that promise, of which in that parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, where he comes to make that separation, and the separation is made by the reaping angels. He says, an angel is coming to make that separation. And that angel, God, through that instrument, is operating those ministries of Moses and Elijah, which are carrying out that separation, that segregation. And since the instrument of God has always been the stumbling block, well, in this end time would not be the exception. They would stumble over the veil of flesh. Now, he goes on to say, therefore, the believers will identify the word and in whom the word will be, to be spoken, preached, and the age as well. Notice, they will identify, he says, in whom that word will be. And they will identify that word. And they will identify the age in which that messenger is placing them. Therefore, they will be hearing and seeing. And then they will have located the Holy Spirit in the instrument that God will have for the last day. And therefore, they will have found the word that will give them the faith to be transformed and raptured at the last day. Look at how he had told us all of that. And now the elect of God, even before I read this, even if they had heard it before, this message, they had not understood it, but now before I read this, the majority already said, but I already located that word that is being brought to me by the Holy Spirit through that instrument. I have already located it, and I am already tuned in. There is an excerpt that was sent to me about that part. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. Where? Brother William said that what you have to do is to turn on the television. Let's see if it's this one. Here it is. This is in the message. Working and obtaining success alongside the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached on Saturday, June 21st, 2014. Look, it says, a little part here, he says, and all of that will be in and on the third pool being manifested, where many things will be taking place, each one in their own specific time, without getting ahead of ourselves nor staying behind either. And the tenth vision that he saw, which was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where the third pool would be manifested, will be fulfilled in the midst of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw that great tent cathedral, remember, it was not his. He was taken to that place. And it didn't belong to our brother William Soto Santiago either. It didn't belong to either one of them. It was someone else's. Now notice, he was taken to that place. And he said that the third pool is in an unknown language. And to not be so, let us say, how to put it, not finish that part there. Not leave it in suspense. Look, it wasn't that tent, that great tent cathedral. It wasn't Brother Branham, because he did not build it nor used it. It wasn't of our Brother William, because he did not build it nor used it. That great tent cathedral belongs to the ministry that God is using at this end time, which that ministry is operating the ministries of Jesus, of Moses, and Elijah, bringing the rapturing faith in me. As simple as that. And it was not fulfilled in Brother Branham. It was not fulfilled in our Brother William. But notice, a new ministry is fulfilled in a new age. It is fulfilled in a language that he says that it was an unknown language to Brother Branham. In other words, it was not English. We already know it's in Spanish. A ministry that has a new name is fulfilled. A new name. All those things. A new ministry and all that. All new. Now notice how everything is now being spoken openly. It is being spoken as it was seen in that vision, which the Apostle Paul went up to the third heaven and saw and heard things that no one had ever heard before. Same with John, the Apostle John. The same for Daniel. But now each one of us are hearing, we are seeing everything that they spoke and what they were forbidden Daniel was told to keep it, seal it, seal that until the end time. John, don't write it. Don't write it. Leave it. Even there in the book of the seals, he says, John, let it go. They will stumble over it. I will reveal it in that day when they have the need to know it. And Paul, he said, things of which we cannot now speak particularly. But notice, now we're speaking everything so clear and in details, because we are inside that place. Therefore, we can speak from one elect to another, and we understand each other very well. The others hear this, and instead they are tormented. And everything that is being spoken torments them. And instead what they say is, this guy is a blasphemer. This guy is an usurper. This guy is this and that. And they blaspheme, for which, as we have said, they are also ordained, because that's the same thing they did in the time of Jesus. If they, that group, those people, were there in the time of Jesus, they will be doing the same thing they did back then. That at the end, they crucified him by order of the Roman Empire at the request of the people. In other words, notice how everything is repeated with different characters, but it continues to be the same spirit. Now, our brother William continues saying here, in the brief excerpt we found here, the one I was speaking to you about, he says, when he saw that great tent cathedral, remember, it was not his. He was taken to that place, and he says that the third pool is in an unknown language, unknown to him, but it will be known to those who will be there. And to be there, the only thing you have to do is to turn on the television in whichever country you are, and we're there. Notice how he says there. The only thing you have to do is to turn on the television, tune into the channel of the broadcast. If it is by satellite, then the satellite Amazonas. And if it is the satellite that goes to Europe, then it's Eutelsat 8. If it is by YouTube, then the 10th channel on YouTube. If it is Telegram, then Telegram. Notice how easy it is to tune in into the work of God and to hear the voice of God from the great 10th cathedral. And you will already be there, as he says, and you would already be there. He's not telling you connect with Bolivia, with Colombia, with Brazil, with Mexico, with the United States, with other countries to hear the rapturing faith. It says, connect with the great 10th cathedral in Puerto Rico. So, therefore, the brethren already know where to tune in. Whoever tells you, connect, and those who are connected to hear the broadcast from somewhere else are adding to and taking away from the word, and they are interpreting everything which was spoken that the people had to be focused on and hearing from the great 10th cathedral, everything that God is carrying out. They are blind, leading the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Everyone who follows ministers like that who say, connect, and they are connected from here and there and over here, all of them are not following the pillar of fire. They are all following another spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit incarnate at this end time. Now, our brother William continues to say, in this message, we left off where he says, therefore, they will be hearing and seeing, and then they will have located the Holy Spirit in the instrument that God will have for the last day. And therefore, they will have found the word that will give them the faith to be transformed and raptured at the last day. Remember that the Hebrew people will also locate, they will also find the pillar of fire in the midst of the Gentiles. On page 41 of the message, The Feast of the Trumpets, at the bottom he tells us how perfect it is today. It's not the rekilling of it, which Moses symbolized by striking the rock the second time. It didn't work. Not a killing of a feast, but a mourning of rejecting the atonement. Oh my! This will be the trumpet, the feast be rejected, then their Messiah made known. Notice, they'll know their Messiah when they see Him. He is coming in power this time, the one they looked for. He is coming in power for the Gentile bride, and the Jews are going to recognize Him. And there he writes, the Jews recognize the Messiah when He comes for the bride. Our brother William keeps on saying, in any other person who comes trying to bring in something else, they will not listen to him. If it is not according to the word promised for the last day, it will be worthless for the believers in Christ. Because anyone who lets, who allows something else to be placed for him, a human interpretation, something else that someone else think, and mixes it with revelation, what has he done? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He makes the word ineffective for the person, and it will not produce any transformation for him. That is why it is so important to keep the word that is brought pure, without leaven, without adding to it nor taking away from it. That is why there is a judgment, a curse, for whosoever adds to or takes away from the word. Revelation chapter 22, whoever adds to it, the place will be added to him, and whoever takes away from it, his name will be removed from the book of life. The scripture explains it so simple there. Therefore, no one of the elect will dare to take from it or add to it. When you see someone taking away from or adding to it, remember, that doesn't seem to be a good transmitter of the pure word from God to the elect. Because if he takes away from it or adds to it, he's doing the same thing that the devil did to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. That God said that the day they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would die, God said to Adam. And the serpent took that same word and added to it, you shall not die. That was a not a single word. Therefore, if it is one word, the chosen one will locate it. They will see if someone else adds just one word to it. They will say, he is adding to it. Therefore, that explanation or what he is saying is not what is going to help me for my transformation. So, you will be hearing the pure word by the Holy Spirit through the instrument that God will have for that time. What will the elect be hearing at the end time, says our brother William? They will be hearing the Holy Spirit through the instrument that God has for that time. And the elect at this end time have already identified that instrument. And as he says in this message that we are going to hear and see next, in the last pages he says, every blessing promised for the last day for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be brought by him in his final manifestation, in his angelic visitation to the human family. That is why the third pull will be for the world, for mankind, for the foolish virgins as well, and for the bride, church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is represented in the wise virgins. That is what is promised. The Lord comes to the wise virgins. They come in with him to the marriage, and then the door is shut, and then no one else can enter into the marriage. That is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. That will be the heavenly visitation of Christ to his church, of Christ the bridegroom to his bride, his virgin church. Therefore, I continue to wait for that angelic visitation to the human family. And who else? Each one of you as well. See? And he goes on. Now notice that that visitation, he says that he was also waiting for it. Because for the resurrection, all those who have departed, including him, depend on that final visitation. So that the resurrection of those who have departed may take place and the transformation of those alive. That is why he goes on to say, from that visitation and with that visitation, there will be the materialization of the promises of the coming of the Lord, of the resurrection of the dead in Christ, of the faith to be transformed and raptured, and therefore, the transformation of the believers in Christ who are alive at the last day, and the rapture or catching away of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb to heaven, the angelic visitation to the human family. Let us stand up and thus leave with us
en este tema, in this subject
the angelic visitation
humana,
to the human
family,
our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.